Yeah, what an awesome time in worship. Yeah, such an important thing in the worship, you know, where the Lord opens your heart and prepares the soil. Yeah, I've had so much confirmation on the word. You know, you prepare a word, and then especially like in the prayer time before and in worship, there's so much confirmation that comes through. So yeah, we just trust the Lord that it's a word in time. Yeah, I'm going to speak on Jesus, the breath of life, and a lot to do with our identity. And I don't know if anyone's seen that clip. Probably you've all seen it, where this guy is at the airport. And the flights have been cancelled. And then he goes to the information desk or where the booking desk. And everyone's like trying to change flights. And then he comes to the front and he's asking for a change of the flight. And the lady says, sorry, it's full. And then he starts explaining his dilemma. And she says, sorry, I can't do anything. And then he ends up saying, do you know who I am? And the lady goes to the mic and she announces over the terminal, if anyone knows, there's a person in front of me that doesn't know who he is. Please, if anyone knows him, can you come and identify him? So hats off to her. You know, he tried, I don't know what he thought of himself, of who he is and what he's supposed to be. And he thought whatever he is going to help. And it was totally flawed. So a lot of times, and that is what we struggle with. We don't always know who we are, although we think we do. And we always reassured who we are. So, yeah. So, Rory's prayer with David. I'm going to start with David in Psalm 139. But in the early verses of 139 is like, God knows you completely. Okay? God knows us completely from the beginning, even before we were formed. He's always present. He created us with intention. It's not by mistake. And then our spiritual growth requires examination. And we'll see that in the end verses. I'll go back to that. And in the first 12 verses, it's like you can't go anywhere to escape the presence of the Lord. You know, I'm not going to read through them. But, you know, being reminded of where we come from in the time of equip, where we're all in the valley. We all experience a valley in our lives, but the reassurance of I am with you, okay? And he emphasizes that again in Psalm 139 in the beginning, that we can't escape his presence. Although you think you can go and hide in the deepest places, don't fool yourselves. You know, he can see you. He's always there if you want him. So, and let's pick up from Psalm 139 from verse 13. Right, it says, You made all the delicate inward parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion. How detailed is that? As I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. And every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. And how precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of the sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me, wherever you are, eh? In the valley. Oh God, if only you would destroy the wicked. So now he realized, David realized now who he is. And then he like takes God's side. And then he says, oh God, if only you would destroy the wicked. Get out of my life, you murderers. They blaspheme you. Your enemies misuse your name. O Lord, shouldn't I hate those who hate you? Shouldn't I despise those who oppose you? Yes, I hate them with a total hatred, for your enemies are my enemies. So when we start walking with the Lord, that's what happens. You hate the things God hates, and you are enemy of God's enemies. Okay? And now the Lord's like won his heart back. Okay, now he comes to verse 23. Then he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. So that's a very serious thing to say once we start walking with the Lord. Point out anything in me that offends you. So we get reborn and you accept Christ in your life and you start walking with the Lord. You realize, okay, my life isn't, it needs improvement. And you realize who you are. And then he says, point out anything in me that offends you. And it's encouraging because then that's the times when we also go through the valley where there's a pointing out of any insecurities in us. It always surfaces then. A few other verses to back up this. In Ephesians 10 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So that's all the destiny, everything he fashioned for us. In John 2:24-25, but Jesus didn't trust them because that was before we cleansed out the temple and they came with all their good intentions. But Jesus didn't trust them because he knew all about people. No one needed to tell him about human nature because he knows us. For he knew what was in each person's heart. So that comes back to you can't escape from God's presence. He knows our hearts. So there's a connection that I want to make between Psalm 139 and Ezekiel 37, the Valley of Dry Bones. And it was so interesting in studying this, and there's so much connectation one to the other. So I like to jump to Ezekiel 37, verse 1 to 14. So the nation was just in a place of restoration where they've been in exile, they've wandered around, they've done so much wrong. And in Ezekiel 36, there's also a renewing of the heart where God's renewing them and giving them promises. And then he gives Ezekiel this vision from verse 1. The Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. He led me all around among the bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried out. Then he asked me, Son of man, can these bones come alive, become living people again? O sovereign Lord, I replied, you alone know the answer to that. Then he said to me, speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I am going to put breath into you and make you live again. I will put my flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, into you, and you will come to life. They will know that I am the Lord. So he spoke the message, just as he told me. And then suddenly, as I spoke, there was a rattling noise across the valley. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. Then as I watched, muscles and flesh formed over the bones, then skin formed to cover their bodies, but they still had no breath in them. And this is a crucial part. They were just bodies. There was no life, no breath into them. Then he said to me, speak a prophetic message to the winds, son of man. Speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath, from the four winds. That's the Holy Spirit. Breathe into these dead bodies so they may live again. So I spoke the message as he commanded me, and breath came into their bodies. They all came to life and stood up on their feet, a great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones represent the people of Israel. They are saying, we have become old, dry bones. All hope is gone. Our nation is finished. Therefore prophesy to them and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people, I will open your graves of exile and cause you to rise again. Then I will bring you back to the land of Israel. When this happens, O my people, you will know that I am the Lord. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live again and return home to your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done what I said. Yes, the Lord has spoken. So interesting also, when he saw the bones, he asked, can these bones live? He didn't say, why are they dead? There was no judgment in it. So he saw the future. Why can these bones live? So now there's a few themes that run between the two. Psalm 139 and Ezekiel. So in Psalm 139, the human eyes see a fetus hidden in the womb. And in Ezekiel 37, you see dry bones in a valley. That's what our human eye sees. Okay? God sees a future person in the womb. He's already planned your destiny. That's what God sees in the womb. And in Ezekiel 37, he sees a future nation. He sees the future, the promise of the nation, because he's been planning this whole thing all along. He wants to take this nation there. Okay? In Psalm 139, there's a formation and there's a growing of life. And in 37, there's a reformation, a restoration that's taking place. In Psalm 139, there's also, he breathes life. He's a life-giving, a breath that's being breathed into the womb. Okay? And in Ezekiel, he breathes life into the bones, into the dead bodies. All right? So God precedes, God's plan precedes fulfillment in Psalm 139. So he's got the plans and it's going to be fulfilled. All right? And in Ezekiel, he has the plans, but you're going to survive in getting to the plan that God has for you. Through all the circumstances. So death is not beyond God's reach. Those dead bones, he comes alive. And that speaks to all areas in our lives. So viewed together, in Psalm 139, God shows a forming of a person in hidden places. in the womb. And in Ezekiel, God is reforming people in the hidden place of apparent death, in the valley of dry bones. He comes and he breathes life and he reforms. And we all experience life. In Psalm 139, he creates life, and in Ezekiel, he recreates. And we all need recreation. As we come to know the Lord, we've fallen in sin, we've fallen in different places, and there's a position where we need recreation. And that's, and a lot of times that's where baptism comes in as well. I'll get to that. So God reveals the work in hidden places. So for in the 139, it's in the womb. It's in that dark hidden place where he starts creating, forming your life. He knows everything that lies ahead of you. Maybe not in detail. I won't know. I haven't got God's brain. But he knows you're going to go through a difficult stage in your life, whatever it is. You know, it could be a relational damage, it could be addiction, it could be any kind of sin. You're going to go through that, you're going to go through a hard time, and God knows that. But you must know who you are in Christ. I've created you specially for that. So, and in Ezekiel 37, there's also the dark place, and that's the grave. So he speaks to the dead bodies. And then in the later verse, he says a lot are in the graves. So that's even a deeper place. That's now going deep. So a lot of us sit with deep things that's not on the surface. There's a deeper issue in our lives that causes us to be dead. That's in the grave. Could be a deep root of rejection. It could be a deep root of hurt. And I think the most important root is your identity. The root of your identity. Who are you in Christ? If you're not established in your identity, knowing that God specially formed you for a purpose and that he wants to take you somewhere and that you belong to him, that you don't belong to anyone else, that he is the one responsible saying who you are, not allowing the world to form your identity, any other person, any other circumstance to form your identity. God is the one who formed your identity. And once we established in that, it's much easier to receive the hard blows of life. Because it won't blow you over. You know who you are in Christ. So as soon as, if you're suffering from a false identity and you receive a blow of life, you fall over and you crumble. You can't stand up, or it's difficult to stand up. So we need to know that who we are in Christ. Christ forms our identity. And that's a long story in establishing that, because you know, then it goes to parenting and who was responsible to form your identity. And we all grew up differently. We've all experienced life in different places. Things have happened to us, and then we decide, okay, that is who we are. I'm just a failure. I am born angry. I am born, that is who I am. I can't change. God made me that way. It's a total lie. And it's a sensitive thing to touch on, but you know, when people identify them, I've spoken to a lot of people who have gone through addictions. And the one thing they teach is, no, I am an addict. I'll always be an addict. I'm just free. I'm just clean for I don't know how long. But where does Christ come into the story, if that's the case? Christ delivers us, he renews us, we are born again into Christ, into a new identity, into a new creation. So I can't put those things together, because that's what Christ does for us. So if he really does it for you, that is who you are. You're a new creation. That is, you were that, now you're this. And in that, we are recreated, we are reformed. The Spirit of God breathes life into us. So, the things that they have in common as well, that Psalm 139 and Ezekiel is also the portion of exile, when you're in bondage. So the nation was in bondage, and they died, and there was dry bones, they went to the grave, and they were raised. They were reformed and recreated, and so there was a place of bondage. So we can sit in a place of bondage in our valleys. Remember the valley. God is with us, and you're not going to remain in the valley. You're going to go through the valley. That's what Psalm 23 says. When you go through the valley. Not when you're stuck in the valley. So there is a table waiting for you where he sits and the Lord wants to sit with you. So a lot of times we're in that, like the nation of Israel was in bondage. They couldn't get free. So we can sit in our own little bondage, in our identity. And we can get stuck there. And you can't move on. And you try and do things right in your flesh, but it doesn't work. You must allow God. When we sang that song, Purify My Heart, deep within, that's going to the grave of our inner being, and digging out those things that you're too scared to deal with, you're too scared to set free of, because you're scared. Sometimes it's fearful, and sometimes it's a comfort, which isn't good, both of them. They both come from a place of brokenness, even David and the nation. They come from a place of brokenness, and God assures him of who he is, how he was formed, the plans he had, and then Ezekiel, he breathes life. He brings them back, he recreates, and sends them into a new destiny. That is who they are. Their hearts are renewed. And they were both in a place of a hopeless situation. And in all of those cases, God came and he springs life into them. Ezekiel 37 is not just a prophecy of Israel's restoration, but also a picture of spiritual regeneration. We all know what regeneration means. It's like going back to the original recipe, being regenerated. We have to go back to the roots and start again. Like in the soils, you go back to natural remedies and depend on natural things to restore things in a soil. And that's happened to us. And that's what he did with the nation. It was a spiritual regeneration. They had to totally open their hearts. You'll see, it'll cleanse me. It'll cleanse them. And so the God that knit us together in Psalm 139 is the same God who breathes life into us. He breathes life into your dry bones, into your graves, into your dead hearts. He breathes life into your impossible situations. And that's where we put our faith in. That same God who breathed life into those bones and into forming, he's the one that's going to breathe life into your situation, into your cursed identity. In Colossians 2, verse 11 to 14, we are reminded of baptism. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. So that's what Christ did for us. He's the one who opened our graves for us. So the moment you get baptized and you die to yourself, you die in your old identity that's left behind. And because Christ raised from the dead in a resurrection life, that's where we get raised into the new resurrection life, into the new identity. And that's that same breath that was used to form you in your mother's womb, to deliver the nation of Israel. Without God's breath, it wouldn't have been possible. And he accomplished that through Jesus Christ. And that's such wonderful news for us, because that's the gospel that sets us free of all those things. So it's very encouraging. And then in verse 13, and you were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh. God made you alive together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses by cancelling the record of debt that stood against us with his legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. So that coming alive is such an important thing. Guys, the breath of God into our identity. So I want to come back to Psalm 139, the last portion, verse 23 and 24. It doesn't matter if you don't get it. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24, which is such an important posture that we must have, knowing our identity. And guys, I can feel there's people that maybe feel they're stuck in their graves today. In some kind of grave where you just can't break free from. But David, after realizing how God carefully took care of him, how he planned his life for him, how he knit him together in seclusion, to the uttermost parts. And once he realized that, then he said, God, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts. God knew his anxious thoughts, where he was in that desperate place. He knew his anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Isn't God gracious? He is so gracious. And that's even before Jesus came. That he reassured him who he was, how he was knit together, his identity. And then he partnered with God against the evil. And then he says, God, search me and point out anything that's not right in me. Where he came from a place of desperation. He doesn't know who he was. And God assured him he's everywhere. And how he made him. And how he breathed life into him. And then sometimes, like in Ezekiel 37, where we always think, he didn't say, this is what you did wrong. This is what you did wrong. That is why there's bones in the valley. He showed them, okay, you're dead. So what do you see? Dead bones. Okay, how do you fix them? Breathe life into them. So he stopped with the accusing. You know, like in the previous chapters, there was always the, you did this wrong and this wrong, this is going to happen and that's going to happen. Now he's come to a point where, like, their hearts are broken. Let's fix this. And how much grace is that? And even for us today, we all have a little niggle of identity somewhere. If the pressure button comes, and something awkward comes out, or not godly comes out, then there's a little, search me deeper, Lord. Search my heart. Purify me. And I want to encourage you with that today. And I really want to create space for us. We're praying with you. I really want to create that space. Even if it's the smallest thing that's convicting you, and that you know sometimes I keep on failing in this area. And God wants to come and breathe life into that. He really wants to do that this morning. And Tracy, would you mind sharing that verse? Tracy had an awesome verse just confirming our identity and our position in Christ this morning in prayer time. And I asked her to be on standby and share it.
Thanks, Pete. So it's from Ephesians 3, verse 17 through 21. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is his love. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church, and in Christ Jesus, through all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Sure. How awesome is that thing? What a reassurance, deeply rooted. Yeah. So we can land that.